B-Pod Studios.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruce Cassidy, he is the coach of your playoff-bound Boston Bruins. Mr. Cassidy, hello.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are well. What do you think about this playoff format? It seems like it sucks.
Listen, once you're in, you got to go through good teams. I think there's really no bad ones. A couple of a little better, stronger than the others. So, I don't know. It is what it is, right? I think it comes around, goes around a few years. We might be in a position where we get a kind of a softer draw. So, I'm just looking forward to playing Toronto, see what happens after that.
What do you think of Babcock?
Listen, Mike has lots of opinions, but he's well-respected, got a good resume. He's won a lot of hockey games. Not as many recently, and we hope we keep it that way.
Okay, because I don't want you to say anything that, well, you're usually pretty you're pretty on the level, but that team, like, what's the shelf life of someone like Babcock? Like, because it seems like right now in Toronto there's a little bit of infighting.
Well, I think it's obviously a heavy, heavy hockey media market. So, you know, you're constantly probably putting out fires if you don't say the exact right thing. Like I said, I think Mike is a smart guy. He has good opinions. So sometimes they're going to, you know, take something and run with it. I think he's got to deal with that. In the locker room, I don't know, guys, to be honest. I don't know a lot of their players. Haven't coached, I don't think, any of them over the years. So that's probably not, you know, my area of expertise to speak on their locker room. You hear things, where there's smoke, there's fire sometimes, but at the end of the day, they're a good team. You know, they got a lot of good young players. Marlowe's a great older guy to learn from. So, you know, I expect it to be another good series.
Now, very famously, Bill Belichick has, apparently there's been stories of him providing his players with bulletin board material when another team will do things like plan a celebration parade before a Super Bowl. Do you ever do that? Do you ever give the guys any kind of newspaper clippings, or you inform them of things that maybe other teams or coaches might have said in order to inspire them?
I haven't. Doesn't mean we couldn't, I guess, down the road. I think our guys, when you look at, you know, our leadership group, Z and Bergie, they're pretty focused, detail-oriented guys. I think they're ready to go. They understand what's at stake. People are going to say things. So, for the most part, no. I guess if there's something really good out there, juicy, you're going to throw it at them. But I think the players hear it, you know, just as fast as we do, to be honest. I mean, social media nowadays. So that, you know, if they need something, they'll probably grab it themselves, to be perfectly honest with you.
So Bruce, you have a interesting luxury that might make things difficult as the coach, and that is that you have two goalies who have playoff experience, and you have the option that if one performs poorly, you could probably feel pretty confident the other guy can come in and at least do a pretty good job. How much of a leash do you think that you'll have on Tuukka Rask when he starts? Do you think that you would feel comfortable, if he had a bad game, pulling him and putting in Halak during this first series?
Well, I'd feel comfortable with either guy in nets. Like, if Tuukka was hurt and Halak had to start, I think our guys play equally well in front of both goaltenders, have the same amount of confidence. They're just going to play their game. So that's the positive of it. I guess the negative is, you know, in the back of your mind, if, you know, if you do not, you know, give your starter the, you know, the benefit of the doubt, if he's having one of those average games, you can get a little, you know, quick trigger finger. So that would be the downside of if you rushed into a judgment that maybe you didn't think through. But we've kind of looked at, you know, our year and as a whole, we've both guys have almost played the equal amount of games. So for us to use one or the other, I don't think it's a big deal in our locker room. I think that's what you got to be careful of. You pull your starter, throw a guy in there, the rest of the guys are looking at you like, what the hell are you doing, you know? You know, you're panicking, but I think our guys realize that we've won with both, so it shouldn't be a big issue if we have to go down that road.
Yeah, I got to think there's always that fear as a coach, is if you pull a guy, whether or not if you had to put them back in, they would be emotionally wrecked. You know, like that fact that you might have lost them after that. But with these two guys, you feel pretty confident that that wouldn't be the case.
Well, because they've split, right? I mean, if Tuukka had played 65 games, all of a sudden we're throwing the other guy in there, he's probably looking at us like, you know, how can you lose confidence in me this quickly? So I think they understand they've both played all year, so that if we end up using both, like I said, I don't think you'll lose one or the other. I really don't. Listen, it's a performance-driven industry. In the playoffs, everything's magnified. You're obviously on a much shorter time frame. You know, you lose, you're done. So, you have to make some of these judgments quickly. And hopefully the players realize that we're going with the best guy that day. And then what we've done around here, I think, for, last 2-3 years is we're trying to put the best guys out there. And the next day is a new day. We move on to the next game. Guys get second and third chances to sort of go back in if they've proven they can handle that. And it would be no different in that position, that's for sure.
Talking to Bruce Cassidy. Now, Bruce, I saw the practice lines yesterday, and Backus wasn't on. I know he practiced, but he wasn't on a particular line. What do you see his role in this series?
Well, we have 13 healthy forwards right now for 12 spots. I will tell you this. I do expect the first game to be the fastest game of the series. I think Toronto understands how they have to play to beat us. And I think we can certainly keep up the pace. I think we're a more physical team once it gets going. Last year, we kind of dragged them into that game. And I think it worked in our favor. I don't know if they'll bite on that again this year. So I think the first game, we're looking at probably dressing our fastest lineup. We've got a couple more days to decide and sort through it. But that's kind of the direction we're going. So that might keep Backs out of game one. But his role changed a little the second half of the year. He became a much more of a physical player, back to his roots, so to speak. He had had some injuries, and I think it took him a while to sort of grab onto that. He played very well for us. So he's going to be a key part for us at some point if he doesn't play game one. I think because of our fourth line mentality, we have Achari, Wagner, and Nordstrom or Crowley when he's back. They're going to play a big part in this series because they can shut down the Matthews, of the world and the Tavares and play them hard. And if we can, be even in that matchup, then I think we'll have the edge elsewhere. So, and he's part of that makeup of that line. The problem is we have Wagner, who's healthy now again in a chair, and they have some similar traits. So I don't know if we can play all three at the same time. That's kind of what we're running into now at this point of the year. But we'll have to make that decision. But I still think he'll be in there, and he'll play some solid minutes for us at some point.
All right, Bruce, there's a report that came out yesterday that Kevin Miller was going to be out for the playoffs. What have you heard, and what do you know about his status right now?
Yesterday we were informed that he would miss the start of it. Where it goes from there, I don't know. Obviously, during the season, we try to be as transparent as possible. Hey, this is what's happening with players. I think in the playoffs, you're a little more tight-lipped. You don't want to assume anything. So right now, he's not on the ice today. But going forward, his status will be reevaluated probably on next week. But I know early in the series, he won't be available to us. So we're going to have to rely on Kampfer or Clifton, who's played real well for us, young kid. Johnny Moore is a bit of a wild card. He'd missed time. He's going to start skating with the team, so he may be available later in the week as well. So that's kind of how it's going to shape out, but we won't see Kevin early on.
Yeah, that's a tough decision to find out the second guy on the third pairing. Is there anyone you're leaning to right now?
Well, Clifton's played well. He's young. He's only played, I think, 20 games or so, but it hasn't fazed him. He's played against good players. If you remember November when all our guys were out in the back end, McAvoy, I think Carlo at the time, Z, he had to play 20 minutes a night against good teams, and he handled it well. And I know it's a playoff. It's a different animal. But we're not asking him to play 20 minutes. Charlie McAvoy and Carlo are healthy. So if he can give us a solid 15 minutes, move the puck, be physical, get the jitters out early, then I think he can help us because he's got good foot speed. And that's going to be a bit of the key here is the matchups is Toronto really skates. But this kid has the mobility and the physical presence and the gumption. He just comes in and plays. I don't know. You hear terms all the time. The hockey coaches, this guy's a hockey player. That's what he is. He's not the best looking guy in practice. He's a little scruffy, but when the puck drops, he's a competitor, and that might be enough to get him over the hump early on until he finds his bearings.
He's got balls, baby.
He does have balls. Yes,
he's got big old nuts.
Himself in trouble again on your show.
Last time we got two dumps. All right, so you're allowed two. So throw out whatever you want. But I heard you talking, speaking of that, I heard you talking about Brad Marchand yesterday and about how he has cleaned up his game. Some of the ridiculous stuff that got him in trouble last year, he seems to have gotten rid of in his game. What are you saying, that we're not going to see him lick anybody's face here in the postseason this year?
I don't know if he's got something else up his sleeve or not. So far, he's kept it under wraps. He seems, I don't know if you follow his Twitter with Tory Krug. He seems to be occupying his time, taking his anger out on Tory. So maybe that's not a bad thing at all. They seem to have a good thing going. I think Tory got him back yesterday, but I suspect Brad will stay out of trouble. Fingers crossed. I think you realize how good he is. He's had a 100-point season. He's being talked about as a first All-Star in the league, so I'm going to expect the antics will be behind him now, but we'll see.
All right, well, he's taking shots at Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports Boston about him being fat. Your thoughts?
I'm going to stay out of that one. I got to deal with Joe every day and Brad, so I'm going to back my guy, Brad, but I'm going to stay out of that one.
All right.
So you know about the reality of the TNR bump, right? Has Jake DeBrus told you about this?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Rich.
No, but, please, because you spoke to Tory about it.
All right, so it's my son's birthday on Saturday, or his birthday party, and Chimura was nice enough to have us meet Tory Krug. He's from the same town as I am. And Tory said that DeBrus, because you know what, people are superstitious, especially hockey players.
Yeah.
And that DeBrus, like, wants to talk to our show every game day because he's convinced himself that
every time he comes on the show, Bruce, like for the last, ever since he got back from his injury,
he's been gone.
Every time he comes on our show later on that night or the next game, he scores. He either scores one or two goals. And it's
make some time for him Thursday, will you?
He is.
He's coming on Thursday.
He requested to come on. He usually comes on Tuesday. He was going to come on right after you. However, he requested to come on Thursday because he's so superstitious about this.
Well, good. Whatever works. I mean, I'm not a superstitious guy with much. I have a routine. I think that's different, but so good for him if that's what, you know, I don't know about it.
I think he likes the verbal abuse. Yeah. I've taken
well,
to.
He gets a little around here. But I think the guys, he's still one of the young guys, so he gets he takes his share here. So
How many goals do you have to score to not get crapped on anymore?
How about 10 in this playoff series, and then we'll leave him alone.
There you go.
Well, that's the carrot.
I like that.
All right, Bruce Cassidy, best of luck. Listen, if you do well, we do well. And it's all cheddar, baby. We need that money.
So, yeah, you and me both.
All right, Bruce Cassidy, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Good to see you, man.
Appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.